I appreciate very much the fact that George did a little homework in the reading that I asked him to read. He is right. The New Revised Standard Version, maybe even the New American Standard and the NIV, make Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24 a little easier to understand. And it's the understanding of this passage that we want to get to this morning because of what comes before it and what comes after it, and the importance of the hope that is brought to those who understand what Paul had to say and what George read. But I'd like to begin by asking you if any of the following sound like you. Are you a person dark or lost in your understanding of God and His ways? Are you one who is alienated from the spiritual life God offers? Are you someone who is calloused or hardened towards God? If this person describes you, you might not know it, but you are living a life of selfish greed and lust. And I know that can be hard to hear and even harder to attempt to digest. But those to whom Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 17, were a kind of people that were just like that. They were dark in their understanding. They were alienated from the spiritual life and blessings that God was offering. And they had so rejected Him to the point that they had become calloused or hardened toward God and spiritual things. But the news that sounds so bad breaks with the hope that is brought. Because just as for those Ephesians, the same is true for you today. There is hope, there is opportunity, and there is a means to change. And so I pose the question on the screen: when will you quit? People must be convicted of their sins before they can be converted from their sins. Paul knew this truth, and he acted upon this truth in the letter he wrote to the people in Ephesus, specifically to the Christians. He spoke, beginning in verse 17, of the old way of life. There Paul described this way of life as being a way of life for some Gentiles, non-Jews, who lived in Ephesus. He affirmed, urged, insisted, together with the Lord, that Christians no longer walk just as the Gentiles he was describing. No longer walk the way Paul describes these people. He said that these people walked or lived in the futility of their mind. The things they thought about and the way they thought about godly things was of no value. What they thought meant nothing to them. They were darkened in their understanding. The Gentiles were not comprehending the spiritual truths presented to them, and furthermore, they were not even trying to understand the spiritual truths. The people Paul describes were separated from the life of God that God offers to all mankind. They were like an alien or a stranger separated from his home. They had no part in the spiritual life that God gives. And so spiritual activity seemed foreign to them. The reason Paul gives for the Gentiles living in this intellectual and spiritual condition was twofold. First, the ignorance that was in them. An element of willfulness is present in the lack of understanding. They were unwilling to learn, and they refused to admit the truth. And thus, ignorance was in them. The second reason was that the hardness of their heart, stubbornness, led to a lack of feeling, an unwillingness to respond or to react to truth. And the people were turning down any opportunity to be reached by refusing to listen, refusing to accept, and refusing to act upon what God was offering. Paul described the Gentiles further, saying, they, having become callous, have given themselves over to sensuality, for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. God did not give them over, rather they gave themselves over. They gave control of themselves to their sensuality, to their licentiousness, the indulgence of sensual pleasure unrestrained by morality. They were doing not only evil deeds, but they were doing sexually immoral things. And in these things, they wanted more. They had become calloused so that they were no longer touched by shame or guilt for their sin. They spent all of their time doing every kind of evil. Their desire was to have even more. Thus, in their sin, they wanted more sin. The sins of the people were mainly sexual in nature, but not exclusively. The Gentiles, Paul wrote about, walked after their own limited thinking, their own lack of understanding, and their own spiritual alienation from God because they chose that lifestyle. They chose that way of living. They chose it because they were uninformed. They were stubborn, and they were cold-hearted. But there was hope. There was hope of a new life. Because Christ had been taught to them. The message of Christ was contrary to their attitude, the way they were living. It was contrary to the sins they were living in. It was contrary to the behavior they were displaying. If they would just listen to what they had been taught and really hear the true words of the good news, which is about Jesus, there was hope. The message of Jesus taught them to do certain specific things about their former manner of life. The people were told to lay aside the old self, be renewed in the spirit of their mind, and to put on the new self. Before becoming a Christian, they must lay aside or take off their former way of living, characterized by the evil in the previous verses. In other words, they must quit living like they used to live. The way they had been living caused them to do things against or contrary to God's will. The person or each one of them used to be corrupted by their desires or their cravings, which promised them great things but deceived them and led them astray. The very things that they entertained was leading them away from God, and any promise of them returning back to Him through those means only led them further away from God. And so a decisive break from the old way of life had to be made. that decisive break was made at their baptism. To turn away from such living, they would have to lay aside the old self and be renewed in the spirit of their mind. A reformation of intellectual thinking and spiritual behavior would be required. Their mind would have to change. Their approach to God must be made over. The renewal to be experienced was a continuous action to which the Christians submitted themselves. Because of the decisive action of turning from their old way of life, they would then need to be renewed in their spirit continually, so as not to revert back to the old way of life, but to press on. Furthermore, they must put on the new self, the new way of life. When laying aside the old self, they would have to put on the new self. At the same time, they were putting off the old self, putting on the new self, and beginning to develop these new characteristics that follow. The new self would be the one created according to God. Created according to God that would be more like Him, more godly than the old self was. As God makes one new, a work which only God can do, the person must do his share to accept the change and to take on the new behavior of the new self. The new self is described as accepting truth, which produces righteousness, right living in relation to other people, and holiness, right living in relation to God. There was hope for a new life. There was hope for them to change. And so Paul described for them what this new life looked like. The new life that they were beginning. Living the new life, these new beings, now Christians, those transformed from their old way of life to live by a new way of living, must carry out the transformation, because the transformation began with the renewal of the spirit of the mind. But such renewal would lead them to do what follows in verses 25 through 32 of Ephesians chapter 4. So as we read these verses, as we come to each one, we'll make application concerning them. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. The new life, the new way of living. Therefore, lay aside all falsehood. Speak truth, each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are all members of one another. In essence, Paul is saying, stop lying and start telling the truth. The reason being is because in the body of Christ, we are all members of one another. The emphasis here is on the unity and the interdependence of Christians, because they all belong to the body of Christ, the church. They must do all that is necessary for the good of the body. So whatever hurts one member hurts the whole body. And as we come to think about it, to lie to someone else in the church would be to lie to yourself. We need to be honest. We need to be honest concerning the things we think about, because they lead us to action. We need to be honest about how we feel about spiritual matters, because there have been those who have left the faith because they had doubts but never told anyone. Or else they told someone too late. Some have faked their way through for a while, but then become shipwrecked in the faith. Telling the truth is what builds bridges. It builds relationships. It builds the opportunity for one to feel comfortable expressing their doubts and asking for guidance and prayers. Whereas lying builds barriers. The term falsehood not only includes lying, as we might consider an outright lie, but it includes all manner of deception, deceiving by half-truths, or withholding facts that the full truth would demand. When people cannot trust a person because of dishonesty, they will stop talking. They will stop helping, and they will stop encouraging the one who lies. Stop lying and start telling the truth. If you will tell the truth, seek forgiveness, and be patient with those that you have wronged by your lies, and work to mend those relationships, the truth will set you free. So Paul continues, verse 26 and 27, "Be angry, and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the opportunity to the devil." In essence, stop hating and start loving. Anger may stem from hatred or vice versa. Hatred may give way to anger. Either one leads to aggression or depressive behavior. Angry people may lash out at others, or they may put themselves down. Angry people project their thoughts about themselves or their situation onto others who may be trying to help them. And thus, misplaced anger is a tool of the devil. It gives him the opportunity to take one further away from God and to take others with them. Before anger has time to work and become uncontrolled, the instruction is to deal with it quickly. Settle it. Overcome the anger. Because anger drives people away, yet love draws people in. Genuine love forgives. Genuine love restores. Genuine love communicates. Verse 28. "He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he will have something to share with the one who has need." Stop stealing and start giving. Stealers are selfish takers, but not always of physical things. And that's Paul's point here. Stop stealing physical things. Stop stealing from your neighbor. And start working so that you can have, and that you can have to give to those in need. But I want us to consider by application that some thieves rob others not of physical things, but of things such as joy, happiness, love, care and concern, or opportunities. In fact, some people rob themselves of these things and more. Givers, on the other hand, empty themselves for takers, giving encouragement, giving resources, giving freedom, many times without respect, appreciation, or good in return. But a giver doesn't expect to have these things in return, but they sure are nice to receive. Thus, Paul encourages them to learn to work. Learn to work and to work hard. because working hard gives you a greater appreciation for the things you do possess and for the things of others. So stop taking from others and start giving. Use what has been taught to you. Do good, providing for yourself, providing that you can then give to others. Give what has been invested in you. Share or provide for the needs of others. Paul continued, verses 29 and 30. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. We might understand it as stop cutting down and start building up. Some people seem to excel in cutting down everything and everybody, including themselves. But this behavior grieves the Spirit of God. So stop cutting down and start building up. Be an instrument of peace. Be an instrument of peace. Where there's hatred, so is love. Where there's injury, never judge. Where there is striving, speak His peace. Where there's blindness, pray for sight. Where there is darkness, shine His light. Where there is sadness, bear their grief. Encourage one another to be what Christians ought to be. And encourage one another to act as Christians ought to act. So Paul said, stop cutting yourself and others down and start building yourself up, so that you can have to build others up. Verse 31 and 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. Stop overreacting and start behaving like a Christian. Christians should not handle their problems the way the world handles its problems. Christians should not blow up. Christians should not bolt or run away from their problems. The world handles problems by allowing the very things that Paul addresses. They allow bitterness to take root, which produces rage and anger. Rage and anger develop into clamor, verbal fighting, extending then to slander or blasphemy, and finally malice, a deliberate attempt to do someone harm by speech or by action. Paul says, instead of living like the world and handling your problems the way the world handles them, you ought to stop overreacting. Stop overreacting by making sweeping statements. Stop overreacting by making everything about you. Stop overreacting by putting your perspective of everyone else's understandings and actions on them. Stop overreacting and start behaving. Start living like a Christian. A Christian is to be kind, good, gentle, and benevolent, to be tender-hearted or compassionate, and forgiving, remembering the very forgiveness that has been received by them. Each Christian remembering the forgiveness given to them by God ought to forgive others. The same context of teaching continues all the way through Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 or verse 21. But based upon what Paul has said, that there was an old way of life that these Ephesian Christians used to live, and it was very dark and very ugly, and it was bad news. In Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ, because God sent Him, there was hope, there was opportunity, and there was a means for them to change. But they'd have to quit their old way of living in order to accept that hope and to have that hope. We ask you, when will you quit? When will you quit living by the old way of life, the former manner of living that Paul described as being dedicated by one's own lack of knowledge and one's own lack of understanding? When will you quit living the old way of life that has separated you from the abundant life that God offers? When will you quit being unwilling to learn? When will you quit hardening your heart and being callous towards God? When will you quit living a life without hope? When will you quit wanting a new life for yourself and accept the new life in Christ? When will you quit lying, hating, stealing, cutting down, and overreacting? When will you quit telling yourself that you can't tell the truth? When will you quit telling yourself that you can't love or you can't give or you can't build others up or you can't be a Christian? When will you quit the old way of life, accepting the new way of life, and live as a Christian? Jesus died on the cross so that we might have the forgiveness of our sins, that old way of life. And our sins can be cleansed, can be washed away by His blood when we respond in trusting obedience. Trusting obedience means that we respond to His will, believing and trusting in Him, turning from those sins that have separated us in repentance, confessing Him before men, and being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And Jesus makes a promise that He will continue to cleanse those who walk in the light of His Word. So if you accept the new life and live in the new life and walk in the new life, you can continually be cleansed. Not only is there hope of a new life, there is opportunity for a new life. And there is a means for you to accept that this morning. When will you quit? When will you quit struggling through life and accept the abundant life that God has to offer you? Renounce at once your stubborn will. Be saved. Be saved this very morning by coming to Christ in obedient faith and putting Him on in baptism. If you are a child of God, but you see that you've not been living by these principles which Paul revealed to the Ephesians and instructed them to live by, seek forgiveness for the things amiss in your life. And seeking forgiveness, live the new life. Life of a child of God, forgiven and whole by the blood of Christ, as together we stand and sing.